Podcast is back a little bit later this year, unfortunately, because Declan Maron is over there.
Hello.
And Ruth Tobin is over there.
Hey,
we're away on holiday together.
We were.
And with another friend of ours.
Yeah.
We don't speak of.
We did. We nipped off to a few different places, caught some football.
Czech Republic. Also,
yeah. Czech Republic, Vienna, Budapest, and Brussels.
Yeah.
Caught one match.
Prague in Czech Republic.
Yes.
Yeah. We managed to get into one stadium and
a scary mission.
Not into another.
Wandered around the outside of the stadium in Vienna.
Yeah.
And
fire alarm went off as we got there.
Hung around with some possibly higher up members of the Austrian FA.
Yeah, we were standing outside.
Possibly just some lads who maintain the stadium. Who knows?
We were standing outside waiting for the. We couldn't find how we could get into the stadium, and we asked some people, kind of tour, just have a look around. They sent us to somewhere, and as we were there, the fire alarm started going off, so we kind of just waited, and they all went back inside then, and no one turned up to where we were supposedly able to get in, so we went home.
Right back.
But we did actually get to see the Czech Republic and Hungary international friendly. In the Ferenc Puskás Stadium, which was lovely.
Yeah, what's stadium like?
It's nice enough.
No, it's not really.
Yeah, it's not great. It's a
it's an old Olympic stadium.
Yeah,
where
an old communist.
There's a running track around it.
We're never
away
from
that. Pitch.
Never found that. The group of ultras or whatever you call them.
Kept
the game quite lively, and the weather was fairly shite.
Yeah.
So
the one day it rained when we were in.
That was when we were sitting in the stand. It was a cool atmosphere. It cost us €3.
Yeah.
Tickets cost us €3 each for the match, which was outrageous. And Delaney out.
Huh? What was the last Ireland match you were at?
Oh, God. Could have been an Ireland-Portugal friendly several years ago.
That would have been a good. I think that was when.
Not even in the Aviva, I don't think.
That would have been when Andy O'Brien scored.
Possibly
1-1-0.
Possibly, yeah.
You were at the Ireland Germany.
I was at the Ireland Germany match.
About
to
start last year.
Yeah. So, that's the last one. Yeah.
So you contribute more to the Czech Republic, there, the Hungarian FAE.
I will contribute more when it costs me €3.
Yeah.
I gladly go see my country play most of the time if it wasn't
€3.
If it wasn't a package deal of 3 games for about €70, 2 of the games are random friendlies with someone I'm not too interested in going to see.
Interesting. Good point. Well,
that's
made.
When you were at, just there.
Yeah.
Curiosity.
What's the last game, the Ireland game you were at?
The last Ireland game.
1990.
The last Ireland game I was at. Oh.
When did we beat the USSR?
Ah, Yugoslavia. I can't remember now. The last Ireland match I was at. It was the friendly, actually, before we went to the Euros, when we played
Bosnia?
Yes.
Did you have that one?
Yes, I was at that one. I was at the one before that as well, when we played another, might have been a qualifier. No, it wouldn't have been a qualifier. I think it was another pointless friendly against somebody, Czech Republic, I think. Simon Cox scored pretty late on that one.
Oh,
I was at that one.
Yeah,
I was at both of them. And, yeah, they were the last ones out. I haven't been to any of the qualifying ones from this campaign, I don't think.
No.
Just on the fact that we're back now, I'm very sorry. I wanted to bring you back a Hungary jersey and sign it myself from Puskás. But it proved difficult, considering I didn't have a lot of money.
Or Puskás to see.
And Puskás was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, we couldn't find him anywhere. Just went knocking on some houses.
Anyway, we've indulged ourselves a lot there. Let's get down to it, lads. The 12manpodcast@hotmail.com if you want to email in any queries to the lads about Hungarian football. I'm sure they're experts now. At 12 man, what is the Twitter handle? It says
at 12 man podcast.
At 12 man podcast. I forgot now. And it's a Facebook page as well. If you want to pop onto that, leave us a question. Do please do. And we will start with a question. We'll start with a question. We're gonna all this talk of transfers and you know, players moving here, players moving there, Bale maybe moving to Madrid, might be already there at the end of this podcast, who knows. I'm going to start with Arsenal though, you know. I'm going to say, you know, with Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger stating that they have no hope of signing Suarez after the Champions League game the other day, what, apart from players, should Wenger spend his reported 100 million on? Nick Lamarrant?
I struggled with this question. It took me researching things like Arsene Wenger funny in Google. I know it's even cheating a little, but I'm back one day and didn't have much prepared. Looked up Arsene Wenger funny, came across a Ray Parler video in which he talked about him being like Inspector Morse, I believe.
Inspector Morse or Inspector Clouseau, more so.
Oh, he said Clouseau, yeah. Morse, wouldn't it be appropriate?
One Sherlock Holmes, is that
what you're saying? So originally I thought, oh, I know, you could do an Inspector TV show, and then I failed to laugh at that, so I decided...
Try somewhere.
I decided, with his 100 million, I'm sure he misses Pat Rice, so I want him and Pat Rice to go on a Caribbean cruise together, like a bunch of old ladies, and...
Pat Rice does look a bit like an old lady as well.
The two of them, from the right angle, the two of them will.
Like Steve Bruce.
Yeah, melted cheese old lady. Lesbian. But yeah, I would like... Yeah, I'd like the two, Pat Rice, Wenger, to go... They're all the stress they've endured. Just run off with the money. Thelma and Louisa onto the cruise ship.
I'm not sure you've seen the ending of that film, but that didn't end too well for them. So
yeah, that's what I'd like.
Ruth Holm, what would you like?
The first thing I thought of was I'd like for him to sort out his neck because it's getting silly at this stage.
I'm not for surgery, though, Ruth. Let him get gracefully older like he has done.
It's not graceful. Jesus. I would like for him to get Abu Dhabi stuffed and mounted and just placed in the middle of the pitch because he would be much more useful in that form. Can't get any more injuries.
Can I interject though? He's not dead.
Yeah, I know.
You could have him stuffed while alive.
No, you'd kill him for it, I suppose.
You would have to have him slaughtered. That is the one downside. You would have to have Abu Dhabi slaughtered.
Is that the downside though?
The one downside is the murder that he will have to cut.
The whole guilt thing that he'll have to live with.
But you'll have to have...
Financial fair play surely will allow for murder. Money to be spent on assassinations.
Interesting take on... Yeah, yeah. I was thinking though, with, you know, the whole... You know, Arsenal won a trophy in 7, 8, 15 seasons.
Just asking someone, hey, can we have one of your trophies?
Well, there's the option of, you know, you can buy a load of trophies. Like
from
you
the
ask
Euro
Madrid,
shop.
No, but you could, yeah, spend 100 million on crafting loads of trophies and just put them in the trophy cabinet and pretend, we won the FA Cup there 3 years ago. People go, yeah, maybe they did. I don't know, I can't remember.
Psychologically, might give them a boost just to see, see silverware.
Or a bunch of fake medals they could give out after they win at home or something like that, which doesn't seem to happen a lot.
Or they could bring Michael Owen to the club and ask him to bring his.
Yeah.
Because he shows everyone his medals,
got
so.
All the medals.
All his trophies.
It's just waste. You can sign him on a free transfer, but you just got a big money signing.
He's with BT now.
Signed for BT Sports.
When did Arsenal ourselves win the Ballon d'Or?
Ballon d'Or goes to all Arsenal players.
Remember Boué won it that year.
Yeah.
Remember
that stuffed and mounted Abu Dhabi won the Ballon d'Or?
You know, nobody could get by him in the midfield. Brilliant.
Well, I think. The more realistic of those two is not real, so we'll share the
victory.
The victory on this one.
Because everybody's Pat Rice and
it is a competition.
But if Pat Rice and Arsene go on a cruise, then who's gonna look after the club?
Bold. That's not what Wenger should be worrying about anymore in my head. He wants to just leg it with the money and go free.
Yeah, good point.
Run free, Arsene. Run free.
Right, so look. Let's get down to the serious stuff. We thought we'd start off with, you know, all this football stuff. We thought we'd start talking just about European round and what's kind of been going on around Europe, because there's been a lot of transfers and managers moving clubs and all that kind of stuff. We had Villanova stepping down, unfortunately. Mourinho's gone to Chelsea, he's left Madrid. I know we knew some of this stuff when we were doing the Federations Cup, but we need to give a proper coverage now. Neymar's move, for instance, and all that kind of stuff. It's got to start in Spain, because it really is the most important place to start. Barca, you know, everything looks to be rosy there at the moment. 7-1 win at the weekend.
7-0.
7-0 win at the weekend.
And then a 1-1 draw at Atleti just after.
Away from home first leg, so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But the, you know, brought in Neymar, scored at the weekend, or scored, not the weekend, during the week even. Mm-hmm. You know, things seem to be going well.
Yeah, I mean, we luckily managed to catch that while we're at Barcelona's opening game. And we originally we didn't think we'd get to watch the whole thing. We thought, oh, we'll pop down later on, catch the end of it. And Rue made the very point of going, no. The first 20 minutes is when all the goals will be. Let's wait now and we can bail on it later if needs be. And yeah, we just didn't. We waited for the entire game.
We couldn't leave because
there was goals flying in.
It was a pretty ridiculous performance.
Oh, it was outstanding.
But we'll touch on the performance more later. It's the fact that it's got a lot of change in Spain now since Neymar coming in. They could do the centre-back Barcelona, really. They've been talking about that, but they don't seem to have money.
Yeah, they don't seem... There's nothing. You don't really hear them being... there was a few little links and stuff, but there doesn't seem to be anything concrete there.
Not that they blew their money on Neymar, but they
spent a lot, yeah.
Spent the bulk of their transfer money on Neymar, and they don't have anything left.
Yeah, and then they let
Thiago go.
Fine players go for... quite cheap.
Who else has gone?
I mean, David Villa was gone for quite a minute.
David Villa, was he ever as good as he could have been at Barcelona?
No, and he was aging, so you
probably... Yeah, he was, no, but I'm just saying, like, they didn't get a lot of money. They haven't gotten a lot of money in.
Yeah.
Although I think David Villa's goal proved that he still has a lot of
work. He does have work, but I mean, not in that team maybe, because there's no way he'd fit in anymore.
Well, they have replaced him with Neymar.
As you're saying, they look like they do need a defender. The likes of Song and stuff like that are still there, who you'll probably find are just going to have to slot in there. And
yeah, absolutely. They will play. I'd say he will play. The bulk of his appearances will probably be in centre-back.
He's not a centre-back.
He
could fit in the odd time, but it doesn't seem to be working for him at Barcelona. He did it very occasionally at Arsenal, but his best play was always in midfield, even more so. People said he was defensive midfielder, but his last season, didn't he get 15 assists or something?
Yeah.
Had a great relationship with Van Persie.
Yeah,
it was a strange one that we let him go out of nowhere for so cheap as well. But he's not being used in the right way at Barcelona. You wonder how happy he'd be there playing centre back.
Yeah,
because they were linked with Agger for one.
It's a Liverpool fan. They'd take a lot of money to take him out of Liverpool, though.
Yeah. If Scarrell's gonna go, I know.
And Quates is gone.
No, I know.
And Carragher's retired, and we sell Agger. We've just got Colo Torre.
Where's Danny Wilson hanging around? He's gone as well.
Danny Wilson.
And Wisdom.
Andrew Wisdom, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But Andrew Wisdom to Barcelona, is that what we're saying?
It's tough to see what Barcelona will do in that position, as you say, spending the bulk. Youth, I suppose, is all you can...
Yeah, even the players that have come through...
You'd know more about the Barcelona Academy than us, being a proper Barcelona fan, so have they got anybody?
Not anyone who really stands out at all.
The worrying thing is, you'll say this now and someone will come along this season
you look silly.
Ordinarily they don't make many great centre backs. I mean, Puyol came through, but he was a right back starting off, and then Piqué isn't nearly the player that he's ever been built up to be.
Particularly
as a defender.
But
do they need an out and out centre back? Like, they remember they bought Chi Grinsky before. He was awful. Yeah. Like, he was too slow and...
Yeah. Get Marquez back.
He was too slow and he didn't really suit the style of play. He had no creative bone in his body, I don't think.
No, but... I mean, similarly with Puyol, was never a very creative player. He was just, like, lion-hearted.
You know?
So someone like that, because Puyol's not going to play nearly as many games as he has been...
in the last four seasons.
Like, it's been going down steadily every season. So they need someone like
It's not total crisis.
No, it's not.
In the same way we were talking about Arsenal, an injured defender will mean God knows who has to play back there, you know? With the way they have it... it's still Mascherano and Piqué.
It's a grand
Song as backup
for a while, but I mean, even that partnership isn't great, and it'll be fine in the bulk of La Liga games.
Mm.
But when it comes down to Champions League games, they want to be retaining the moniker of being the best team in the world, and they won't have it with this defense. I know it's been for years people have questioned their defense, but it's just they won't be as dominant in possession because Xavi isn't as good a player as he was
That's
they need a centre back.
What about Madrid then? They don't need Bale, do they? I mean, it looks like they're going to splash 93 million or so on him, and the deal's set to be complete it's set to be complete in the next 2 days. It's been set to be complete for about 4 months now or something.
It's a very Madrid thing to do.
spend lots of money on a player you don't need.
Yeah.
Just so nobody else can come.
But it's another... It's what comes with that Galactico thing, isn't it? It's excuse me. It's something that comes as part of their... It's like their thing. It's like, this, you know, if you were joking about Arsenal, oh, they always play their 14-year-olds, and then they come through and they're great. Madrid's thing is that, oh, yeah, we always splash the cash on this man of the year, and sometimes they turn out to be good. It's like, we don't learn our lesson, though. We just keep going.
Yeah. Interesting. They don't need Bale. They've already spent a bit of money this transfer window. They brought in the midfielder from Sociedad.
Iramendi,
yeah. Which from... 38 million or something euros.
Yeah.
A lot of 38 million euros.
Isco as well.
Isco's coming in. Who scored the winner at the end. But yeah, they spent a lot of money already. And watching just, I know it's only one game, but watching the Madrid game at the weekend, they look very disjointed already with their tactics. They seem to have four attack midfielders almost and one striker. And then Luka Modric seems to be playing almost defensive midfield. Very bizarre.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a few more sales from there as well, though. I mean, Benzema, Casillas, Contrao, a few of them have been linked away.
Well, Casillas didn't start at the weekend, which is strange, because he's been there for so long. And
we the main reason we thought behind that last year was definitely the Mourinho factor.
If it's... Yeah, maybe it wasn't. Maybe Mourinho had something... Was right, you know? Maybe Casillas is slipping.
Not in the way he went about it, but maybe...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's enough. It was overall, at the end of the day, it might have been the right choice. But, fine now. But Bale, is he worth 93 million? I mean, he is such a young
player. Probably not.
At 23.
Probably not worth 93.
And you could have him for 7 years, which would work out a lot.
I think it's what everyone's kind of jumping on now. It's talking about how shrewd negotiator Daniel Levy is if he's getting that much for Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
I think it's something that's been relatively obvious for a long time. I mean, going back to 30 million for Berbatov and bloody, how much was it for Modric? 40 more?
Yeah, it's about that.
It was actually less than he had wanted to hold out the summer before, but anyway.
Yeah, but it's still...
But yeah,
still,
even the fact that he held out for another year with Modric and then...
That, like, that's for me, looking at these, is kind of... I think 20 million for Robbie Keane. Good lord, like...
93 million for Bale, though. You're going to get 7 years, maybe, out of him. It's about, what, 13 million a season, something like that.
Yeah, well, let's look at it in the sense of if he was to play, he's only had one good year.
Well, he's
won the
player of the year, though.
Year 2 years in a row.
I saw Gary Neville made the point the other day that he felt another year or two of that high quality will show that he's that kind of player now.
But he might have those 2 years of good quality, but he might just have spent Madrid.
Maybe, and then I'll go, oh, yeah. But
it seems to be the fact that some people forget that. Yeah, maybe he's had one good season, but there's no guarantee that this season won't be a good season for him, particularly if he's playing with better players.
Oh, I agree, but it also falls into... I mean, we've seen that happen to a lot of players come into...
A big club and
they fade away. Well, look at Modric. Great example.
Exactly, although I never thought Modric was a standout.
No, he's not the same way Bale is. If Bale goes there, I can see him being a very big success.
Yeah, Bale one ring, Ronaldo the other. Yeah. Or even Bale one ring, Di Maria the other, Ronaldo up front.
Isco playing off.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like Di Maria is one of the players that
might be leaving,
That they'll hoosh out to make way for Bale.
Yeah, who's been leaving Arsenal, actually. Along with Casillas and Benzema and all this kind of stuff. Fire sales all around
it. It would be an interesting one. I mean, selling Higuain and then selling Benzema almost immediately afterwards.
Only having one striker.
Seems...
I'd be surprised if Benzema left. Considering Benzema scored the weekend started. Yeah, it seems strange. The title race is Spain. Where's it going? Barcelona, Madrid.
Madrid. I do want to. It would be great to say that.
I mean, they brought him here, replaced Falcao, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not going to be
good bit of business though. Getting in 50 million for
and spending
signing David Villa for five.
Yeah,
he won't score as many goals. Falcao,
no, God no. But I think when we're saying the title,
two new managers, Ancelotti and Martino, who we know nothing about Martino.
Yeah, we know very, very little.
He's never managed in Europe before.
Yeah.
No. He has been quite successful wherever he's gone. I mean, you look at I think the Paraguayan one would be his highest profile thing. And quarterfinals of the World Cup, final of the Copa America, then 2 years later, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
With a fairly limited Paraguayan team.
Yeah. When we're saying the title, I think we all will generally, and most people generally,
come on,
probably go Barcelona. But I'm a huge fan of Ancelotti's. I want to see how he gets the club started up now. If he does get Bale, and you know, as we're saying, there's a few of these players that are looking like not deadwood, very expensive deadwood.
Yeah, Contreras and Di Maria.
That if he gets rid of these, I'd like to see what he'd do with the rest of the team and you know, with Ancelotti behind Madrid, I feel they can really, really be dominant.
I think Atletico Madrid could even say, I know it's very unlikely that they will win the league, but they, you know, maybe even Valencia to a certain extent, although they have lost some players as well, that they could say, right, there's a great chance for us to win the league because both of these have new managers and it's going to take a while to adjust to their tactics and the way they play.
In the same way,
or is that
way,
just
in the same
way
that,
too optimistic?
In the same way that Liverpool fans can be optimistic that they'll win the league this year with all the new managers, you know?
Yeah, I
just don't see it. If I reckon Ancelotti gets some setup right, and Real could be very, very dominant this year and next.
Yeah, just on that old like Ancelotti thing, it depends on if he actually tries to set them up in a way, in a particular style, and tries to implement that as opposed to just going
attack.
I have Bale and Ronaldo.
Yeah,
throw
but
him
I,
on
he's
the wings
he's
and
not
go.
That's not the kind of manager he is, though.
Yeah, well, that
really,
but mean, that's kind of the point that I'm trying to make. You can't imagine Ancelotti. It seems hard to imagine what way you can. I don't know how you can set up a team that has like a fluid sort of system there that won't be. It won't change if a different player comes in there because they're such different players. Like every player has a different thing. Like you can't replace Isco with Modric and have the same result.
Yeah.
So that's like that's the sort of system that you have. Whereas in Barcelona, it's that's the idea. At least.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think that's
well, I think just Ancelotti is more flexible then.
Yeah. And I think that's what he's come from. I mean,
yeah.
But look
at Paris Saint-Germain though. He has to manage a big squad of players there. You know, and
yeah,
he won the league with them.
I mean, he won the league, but they didn't. They had a lot of critics, and they weren't. You know,
possibly
they,
so, but I think if he could almost make that defence a little bit stronger, whether that means putting an extra player in front of it or an extra two players in front of it, or just make it a deeper line, because they've always played a very high line. You know, if that defence was a little bit sharper. No, look, they beat most teams comfortably anyway, but they are a counter-attacking team. And with Bale on one side and Ronaldo on the other, that pace is going to get him. So if they can stop conceding so many goals, it's their problem.
Yeah.
Then they might well,
win the league. It's also, they seemed a bit lethargic last season. And just kind of thought they were going to win matches easily, and then just kind of
they didn't. Well, they started last season really poorly.
Yeah, and kind of just went, meh, we'll pick up points.
I think there's
elsewhere,
a much bigger change coming into it in the fact that we all know how Mourinho is, the infighting, and that he's the star of the team basically when Mourinho's there. And Ancelotti's such the opposite, where he's just a manager. He's a tactical manager who's going to step back, and the players don't do what he's asked them to do. He'll drop them, but he's not going to drop them because they're a big personality.
Yeah. Arguably the only manager who's had any success for the Chelsea, bar Mourinho.
Yeah.
So, should do a good job. Just moving on to talking about Barcelona and Madrid, do you think they could be a big force in Europe?
I don't this year.
No.
I think it's maybe time for, you know, Dortmund and German football and Bayern Munich to,
actually
have a spell of dominance? Is there a chance that Dortmund could win it this year?
I think Dortmund are almost stronger this season than they were last. The players that they brought in, I mean, they got, like, obviously Lewis and Götze is a massive thing.
Especially
this one
too, your biggest rivals.
Yeah, it depends on how these new players come in. But Mkhitaryan is an excellent player.
Yeah.
And Emmerich has been, Pierre-Emerick
Aubameyang. He scored a hat-trick at his debut.
He's
been on fire since he's there. And it's just,
looks a great player.
It looks like a player that just suits that system.
It looks like they're keeping Lewandowski.
Yeah, well, they're keeping him for the rest of it. For this season, at least.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they win the league this season,
win the Champions League,
but
maybe not Champions League.
just to contrast that point, in that sense, are Bayern not stronger this year as well?
Oh, they are. Yeah.
Basically, added to that fantastic squad with what we would class. It's we're still to see with Pep how he gets on after Barcelona. But what we would probably class right now as a world class manager.
And
an up and coming, looking world class midfielder in Götze.
Adding
that,
I'm not
Thiago there as well.
I'm just saying, like the end of last season, people thought this is the end of Dortmund,
but it's not.
Oh
but
God, no!
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Bayern may have that whole thing of we're the best team in the world here. Just win, there you go.
Maybe,
Guardiola wouldn't let that.
I don't see that being.
I mean,
it never
happened at Barcelona.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
And you got to look at
it.
Fascinating.
It is the one, probably the one manager that wouldn't, not the one manager that wouldn't let that happen, but the one manager who can deal with the fact that They're the best team in the world, and there are players. There are players in that team, Robin, Ribery, possibly quite big egos, and they could just be like, "Oh, we're the best team in the world." Like,
big egos in a negative sense as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it means.
Not in the same way there would have been big egos at Barcelona. Big egos that, as you're saying, could let you would you could imagine these players letting it get complacent, getting complacent, or even. You know,
and if you tell somebody not to be complacent, they're going to get complacent. Yeah. That's the one thing you learn from Football Manager.
They will get complacent.
It's going to be a fascinating season in Germany again with all this. Because it's kind of back on the big scale, isn't it? I mean, most of us, and most football fans have known for a while that the German league isn't like below any other league. It's up there. And now this year it's really been highlighted as like they won the Champions League.
Yeah, they
were in the Champions League year before. Guardiola's gone there. So it's kind of commercially looking like a huge league now.
Absolutely. But Bayern Munich have always been a big team, but they did fade out in the mid. You know, they didn't get past the last 16 for 3 years or four years, and they just kind of faded away during the mid 2000s. And they're back now, you know.
But it's just fascinating on a commercial sense. I mean, we might see some pundits actually talk about the German league.
That's true, yeah.
Which is bizarre.
They won't just know about Robin because he played for Chelsea.
I
think the Barcelona thing is going to be interesting with Guardiola because. They've obviously won the treble and they cannot get any better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that, but, you know, football comes in cycles, so, you know, they might not necessarily win everything this season. They might not even win anything this season. They might finish second. They might get knocked out in the Champions League early on, but if he can keep that squad and build it the way he wants, within 3 years, you can see him just dominate again.
That's the thing. It's one of the big things with him going in there is a lot of the people would think, we've won the treble. I've done all I can with this club now. I'd like to go. Whereas someone like that coming in is like, well, I want to stick around. I want to see what happens here, kind of thing, you know.
And you look at players like Neuer, Cruz, Muller, they're so young as well. Yeah, they're not. Yeah. And Guts coming in is so young. Thiago coming in is so young. Mm. Okay, Robben and Ribery a bit older, but they've got Shaqiri as well. Looks like a fantastic player.
Mm.
They've got a really good team with youth. I think maybe they could do it at centre back. It's the only position they could do it. Maybe improving it.
Maybe. I think
they were relying on that.
They probably need a backup striker. Maybe they have someone there that's in the squad that...
Mandzukic and Pizarro, isn't it?
Pizarro is the... That's not top level. Yeah. You know, for this dominance that we're talking about, if you're replacing Mandzukic with Pizarro, it's not...
Yeah.
You know, it's not as good. There is a young player, I can't quite remember his name, who came through and he's meant to be...
Is this guy who scored a few...
He scored about 7 or 8 against the...
The fan.
Whatever, the fan.
Yeah.
Team, and he's meant to be... quite highly rated there.
Mm. What do you make then of Italian football?
It's just a bit of a suggested thing because that seems to be on a bit more on the rise as well.
Gomez just hopping from Bournemouth.
Yeah, resurgence.
Fiorentina, and they're being kind of tipped a bit to go on this season and challenge.
Well, yeah, dark horses in a way because they're not, they wouldn't be commercially favourites, but as you're saying, they're looking.
Well, Juventus are favourites because they just got.
Tevez,
a proper team.
A couple of
Tevez has come in.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been a lot talked about Italy. Maybe we're just not hearing as much as we would normally because the focus maybe shifted to Germany and shifted to Spain, or the money is just not there.
It's interesting that you look at some of the teams like Napoli and Fiorentina and they're spending big money on big players. You know, obviously Napoli got in. Napoli were probably the biggest spenders.
Higuain,
they got Higuain in.
Pepe Reina,
Skirtle.
Raúl Albiol and Callejón off Madrid.
On the other side, Manuel Giaccherini goes from Juventus to Sunderland. And you just think, what's the... Like, where is Italian football? Like, the champions can't hold on to quite a decent player. Whereas the challengers are...
I don't think Giaccherini was a squad player at Juventus.
He was a good squad player.
Similar to...
There was a stat, though. He gave out the ball 16 times in the match the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Osvaldo moving to Southampton.
Yeah, just in a similar bracket of what you're talking about.
Yeah, there is a lot more money floating around England at the moment. TV deal. Yeah, so, you know, it's good. You know, it's good for the English teams to be able to buy all these players. And you kind of look and say, well, look, is Osvaldo going to be that good? But I've seen Osvaldo play a few times. I've never been really impressed with him. Bit flary, bit flashy, but maybe he will score goals. Maybe they need somebody to do that. But I've always seen him as a bit of a goal scorer rather than anything, you know, who links up playing. They've already got a goal scorer, Lambert, but. In terms of going forward, bringing in players like that could be a good business, but it also could be a colossal waste of money.
Yeah.
I don't know, Giaccherini wasn't that expensive, but, you know, he might not suit the style of play. And he's pretty small. He's 5'5". Yeah,
even, actually, fascinatingly when we're talking about this, Quagliarella was linked to West Ham. Ham. Yeah. That's outrageous.
In fairness, like, Quagliarella was good 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
But he was never
great. He's always no, but, one of those who's knocked around the Italian leagues. And...
But to, it'd be, say, competing for a place with Downing and Jarvis or something if he was going to play wide. You'd be like, well, I know who I'd pick.
Yeah. Well, actually, how many assists does Quagliarella get? That's what West Ham seem to look for in a winger.
How many assists does Downey and Jarvis get?
That's my point. That's what they seem to look for in a winger. Who is someone who cannot give the ball to the striker.
The important thing about the Serie A is that Zanetti is coming back, which we were worried about last year because of a bad injury.
It's Kili seen off
the Serie A.
No, God, no. What would
be like the Premiership without Ryan Giggs?
Yeah. I can live with that fast. I don't care about Giggs as much as I care about Zanetti.
Yeah, Zanetti.
Super injunction.
allegedly. Yeah, the tractor. Zanetti. Think. Yeah, team events will just go run away with it again.
You know, Pirlo running midfield.
Tevez doing a bit of running up front.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, they are still. They know how to win it.
Or
at this stage, this is a squad and a manager who just knows.
Yeah,
true. They can. They don't. They're not even the flashiest. They're basically United.
Functional.
I'm excited to see, just after following. As a Liverpool fan, and generally we were excited by the hate campaign that surrounded Benitez all last year, how he'll do now going into a club where he's liked again. And for me, Napoli have been a decent club there, for all of us, but the few signings they've made are like relatively low profile decent ones.
Well, I think Wayne was the big one.
Yeah, but well, I suppose for the Serie A, but even, I mean, on the scale of big transfers this year, it's not gone in, it's not registered as one.
Well, 26 million or so.
36?
32, 36.
It's really? I don't think it was that high.
Yeah, it was quite high. And I mean, Higuain is a proven goal scorer.
On the back of Cavani leaving, I think they needed somebody to do that.
Yeah.
He's almost a perfect replacement in a way. Now, Cavani was a bit better at linking up the play and, you know, getting more types of goals. But Higuain's a goal scorer, and if that's his job, and he scores 30 seasons.
And, I mean, you do get a lot of...
Who's the last player to score 30 in Serie A? Luca Toni.
You do get a lot of not great strikers in Serie A. I mean,
Osvaldo, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, even you look at the Italian national squad, none of their strikers are particularly good. They all score about 10 in Serie A. It'd be interesting to see, like, because they used to have... Just breathe.
Yeah, they
born.
Yeah,
goals.
World class strikers.
Inzaghi.
Yeah, don't leave that lead to last. Don't you dare.
I was the very first.
Exactly. I was. Inzaghi came out. I was like,
I actually the AC Milan crest was right in front of me, and it just jogging around.
I don't know, Siena. Fellows Juventus.
Classic Siena.
Yeah, well, they used to have great stars. As I said, the last striker I think scored 13.
Yeah,
and he was awful on the international stage, like Pazzini.
Yeah,
that other guy, Cassano,
Cassano's still knocking around, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't even know where he is. Is he at Inter? Is he at AC? Is he at both of them?
He didn't move this year, did he?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
He was at AC
He's
last
about
night.
You.
Yeah, that's pretty
He
much.
Has sex with an awful lot of women.
He slept with over 1,000 women according to himself, I think.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
And it's not even that attractive. You know what I mean? Like,
we have a chance, lads.
Let's go,
Italy.
Here we come. Right, moving on then. I think it's good talk about European football. What's happened? Anything else you want to add?
Well, Rio, how are we getting on with Celtic there?
Decent,
not good.
Decent, and then awful.
Yeah. Not very well in the Champions League, it seems.
No, not. I mean, even getting through, we've gotten through two rounds, and it's been fairly.
What's the name? Right. Name of the team that you're playing?
Shakhtar Karagandy.
Who our third companion on our holiday pointed out to you that Irish club St. Pat's had beaten.
It's
not over till Neil Lennon gets sent off. Then it's over. 2-0 down for the first. Are you worried that, we'll just briefly move on after this, but are you worried that if they don't qualify for the Champions League, they won't spend any money because they think their squad is good enough to.
The exact point that I made was people said, like, I was kind of annoyed when Wanyama and Hooper left, and I was like, people were saying, well, you got quite a good bit of money back from them, because I mean, we signed Wanyama for nothing and sold him for 12 million, which was pretty good, but if we don't make Champions League, that's useless.
Yeah,
that's considerably less than we would have made. And I think if we had Wanyama and Hooper in there,
And Keane, we would have last season.
Yeah, we would have had a much, much better chance of getting through. You know,
I mean, so he could have possibly bought a decent forward for 3 or 4 million. I know Celtic never really spent that.
Well, they
money.
Tried with Crystal Palace's Dobby.
No, like, no, that was last season. We were in three or something.
Got a decent strike for a couple of million. I know Celtic don't really spend that kind of money, but if the...
Well, I mean, we have spent 2 or 3 million on a few players.
Yeah.
And the players we brought in actually do look quite decent. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of them, but, you know, the winger from Ajax, Dirk Boruchar, he was very good about a year ago for Ajax. Not last season, because he got an injury, but he looked very good. And then your man, Victor Fisher, came through with a 12-year-old who's unbelievable, right?
Yeah,
this ridiculous prodigy.
The Danish player, is he?
I think so.
Yeah.
There's Lucas Anderson as well, who's a Danish player who's quite highly rated.
Yeah, and Christian Eriksen.
Yeah.
The Danish are up and coming, lads. But yeah, you're worried then, so no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrified of what's going to happen now. Because we have to be in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to win the league, yeah, whatever. Even for my own selfish world. I get bored soon.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, we want to, you know.
Well, that's great. Right,
grand. And, like, we do have the Europa League. It won't serve us very well as a club going forward. But it could be quite good to get a good run on that.
Well, yeah. Especially for fans to watch.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You want to watch, like, your club in European competition.
I'd obviously, like, be still very involved and interested in it. But
it's on Thursday rather than Tuesday and Wednesday. Like.
Yeah.
But just for the club going forward, to not build on our good run last season is a waste.
Yeah.
And I mean, it looked like we had a decent bit of money. It looked like we could have gotten Champions League again. We still can, but, you know.
It's just like when the fans throw Gordon Strachan. Even though he's done a really good job.
I never turn on.
Well, look, stay tuned to see how Rue reacts after they get knocked out.
Yeah, if I'm here next week, you'll notice.
Right, moving on. Premier League then, lads. It's back. Started back. Back with a bang, even. Back with a bang at Stamford Bridge.
Well, it started at Liverpool.
Yeah, we started at Stamford Bridge. Mourinho's back. That means, you know, football's better.
I don't know.
At least scored to see Bruce anyway. He was having a good he was just having a good day out.
Lovely day out, didn't he?
He didn't care that whole loss. He didn't care about any day, you know. But just promoted. Playing Chelsea.
Imagine being on the side of the pitch and be like, should we make any salt? We're being beaten here. Like,
I'll ask Jose over here.
Yeah, just give me a minute.
Give us Lampard. Good.
The adults are talking. Don't interrupt us. Come on, stop.
It seemed like
also,
that.
Can you please refer to Hull as their proper name, the Hull City Tigers.
Hull City Tigers. Yeah.
Tigers.
They're my favourite soccer ball team anyway. Yeah, that's for true. Yeah, it just seemed like it was a fun day out for Hull. Chelsea, typical El Mourinho. Chelsea really went, opened it up, high tempo game for about 30 minutes, scored 2 goals, got a little bit lucky with that free kick, unlucky with the penalty.
McGregor had a great game.
he was good.
Haymaker for Torres.
He came out, punched Fernando Torres.
That was great. I said it to you guys earlier, it's like one of my favourite penalty giveaways I've ever seen, because it was just, you can see what he was trying to do, but there wasn't even a jump about it. It was like, well, I'm going through his face is what I'm doing. I'm going directly through his face to get
him. Nobody likes Torres. I'm not going to punch him.
But it was like
I prefer when he had the mask.
It was like running out though with his arms raised, like a superhero stance. It would be like, whoa, direct punch to the face.
I was like, I'm gonna run out with my hand up. If I hit you, it's not my fault. Can't give a pen up. You ran into my hand.
But they did, and he saved it.
He did. Good save. Then they got a free kick later on.
Yeah, so Lampard said, right, I didn't score from there. Put me back about 30 yards and whack it even harder.
Didn't score from 12 yards. Maybe from 40?
So he hit it, and McGregor really should have saved that.
Yeah, I mean, it was on his side as well. Not the side of what, like...
It wasn't that high. It was kind of dipping by the time he got in.
Yeah, now maybe beaten by that.
Like, maybe he's unsighted by something, but I don't know. He really should
have... Looking at Torres, I'm going to hit you again, you know.
Shaking his fist out.
I hate you.
But then he pulled off a wonderful save right at half time.
Yeah, that required goal line technology.
Technology. Yeah, all three of us said it. That was deadly.
They love it, don't they? They are having, they're like a dog with two dicks, all the commentators.
But, I mean, this match was on the Sunday. the games that were on Saturday, there was no use for most of it. Arsenal hit the post in the Arsenal game.
I was telling you,
there was nowhere near going in.
The Liverpool one as well. It was a good 3 or 4 yards. It was like a corner that was headed towards goal. Lucas was about 3 or 4 yards off the line, headed it off. And they had to do it. They were like, oh, look, let's just check in case. Yeah. Like, he's not even behind the line.
He's on the penalty spot. He's taking a goal kick. But yeah, I mean, look, it worked. That was as close as going to come to being a goal. Right on the line. McGregor palms it back and doesn't give it the goal. And rightly so.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's going to work. I mean, it will put an end to all these debates about goal or not goal, which might be unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, in the Premier League.
Well, only in the Premier League. Yeah, it's not even in anywhere else at the moment.
They're using that, but they're not using that thing that the referee's spraying can for the wall to make sure the wall is 10 yards. Remember that?
Yeah,
I like that because I've seen a few walls move even since and I'm angry about it.
It does get annoying when that happens.
Yeah. It does. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Does it make you sad?
It's kick kind of spray annoying. Cans into football. That's what I'm saying.
Racism out, spray cans in. Yeah, look, Chelsea beat Hull. Pretty routine. Hull, didn't really look like they've done much, did they?
I mean, they looked alright at times. They were 2-0 down and kind of tried to play a bit of football.
But yeah, they were 2-0 down.
But they were 2-0 down and, you know, that can kind of flatter to the sea when that's what happened. And then Chelsea were kind of like, yeah, we've won this.
Yeah.
So they didn't really put up a good, very good fight.
I think for Tigers, they didn't bite hard.
Yeah.
That's what was... It's terrible. This is Daily Mail's shift for the next 8 to 10 months.
Until they get relegated.
All of my Tiger puns.
Saved up, lads. Saved them up for the season. I was going to say that Oscar scored.
Great work between the three attacking midfielders, between Hazard, De Bruyne, and Oscar.
It's just a hell of a... I mean, you pointed out when the bench came up.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a forward. It's a hell of a forward
ridiculous
line.
Like,
just that... It's very, it's so interchangeable.
Yeah.
It
Matta, Schürrle, Ba, Lukaku on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lovely. Lukaku was brilliant last season. Hopefully he can keep that form this season. Well, hopefully, you know what I mean? For him, his sake, hopefully.
Yeah,
you know.
Not for your sake.
Ba isn't a really a top forward, but
Newcastle fans want him back.
They kind of need somebody in the who's going to get goals when the others aren't. And, but it looks like Torres won't be scoring. So Lukaku, who well wound up being the favourite there pretty soon, because... Mm-hmm. Unless they sign Rooney, which is a possibility, but I really don't think Rooney is the kind of striker.
I don't get him either, but I'm going to stick my head out and say that Lukaku should be starting now.
Already? Like,
yeah, I think he should be, and I think he'd be doing fucking excellent.
Well, they played... Chelsea played 2 matches this week because we're in the Super Cup, so they played Aston Villa during the week as well. They won that 2-1.
And Demba Ba started.
Yeah, and Demba Ba started.
Which is a bit disappointing.
Torres was awful at the weekend. You know, people saying, oh, he looked like he's getting four falls. Yeah, like,
he got in the way.
Goal scorer.
I pointed this out. He got in the way. There was one stage where the three attacking midfield was working well together again, and he got involved. And I was like, move. They were playing fast, jinky football.
You just stand that box at the bottom and put it towards the goal.
Yeah, that's exactly the type of player that they need.
Yeah. Which Darren Bent. Should have got Darren Bent.
Don't necessarily think Lukaku is that type of player either. But
no, but I mean...
He does offer a very different dynamic because... Torres probably sees, you know, Hazard and Oscar jinking in and out. He's like, I used to be able to do that. I'm going to give that a go.
He actually did try a few times.
And he loses the ball. Whereas Lukaku just goes, well, that's not the type of player I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to barrel through everything.
Bit like Benteke.
Yeah.
I'm big, I'm strong, I'm standing in the box, hold my ground. You know, wait for the ball to come to me and then put it in. Yeah, I'll come deep and I'll play the ball, win headers or something.
Actually, Benteke gave an absolutely beautiful cross for... Fineman game against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Which Fineman totally
missed.
Yeah. Although you have to say that front three looks quite good as well.
Bonahar, Fineman and Benteke.
Yeah, I mean if you can keep him.
Like Bonahar, whose performance was hailed as like one of the best in the last 10 years by
Paul. This happened with Ashley Young when Martin O'Neill was managing Aston Villa. He scored late against Everett maybe, and Martin O'Neill ran onto the pitch and said you're the best player in the world or something like that.
Jesus. Martin O'Neill signed Nicky Shorey. I've said this many times. He's not really got a good palette of what's good and bad.
He was a good lad at Celtic.
Well, look, he's lost that.
Anyway,
the point being, Villa and Abanahor. Yeah,
good players.
Yeah, he's looking I've seen him. I saw him in the Arsenal game. I caught the highlights of the other game.
There's absolutely no basis of any of this. Like.
It's speculation.
Yeah, all what we talk about today is almost irrelevant.
It's completely just knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah,
today.
To what's happening. But Bonnar did look good.
He did.
And he did.
More, it's a World Cup year.
More eager than he has in a long time as well. Yeah. Like, I mean, for example, you take... I know we're skipping on to the game against Arsenal now, but you take that one where he won the first penalty. Like, I haven't seen him do that ever, really. Like, break through two midfielders, pass Koscielny and be felled, and work it into
the Koscielny didn't really put up much of a challenge.
No, he did.
He kind of ran the head of a ball in the heart and then went, and it's a tackle.
I'll get on to how bad Arsenal were in a while.
We'll be touching on in a minute, but we'll just go back to
the Chelsea
game. The Chelsea game where maybe Ivanovic could have been sent off as Chelsea won
2-1. Yeah, I think you should feel more aggrieved. I think stuff like that can be very...
Yeah, I think...
You don't want to be too harsh, because I'm not sure he was looking to Elmo, but it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad, but I think the thing that makes it worse is the fact that he scored the winner then.
Yeah.
Just a minute after that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think what he should be more aggrieved at is the John Terry handball. Because it's absolutely ridiculous. He just continues to make me hate him. Like, he threw his hands up because he wanted a free kick. Wasn't it that was looked like what he was doing? Why his hands went up in the air? He basically looked to be saying Benteke pushed.
Yeah, he's pushing.
But he threw his hands up while the ball was still coming to him. I mean, so he handballed it. I don't know how the referee missed that one. It was very poor.
Yeah, Lampard was pretty angry afterwards. Mourinho said Lampard was like me 7 or 8 years ago when I was managing Chelsea, saying, "Oh, he wants to win every decision." He's angry.
Whereas now I don't want to win at
all. it's a funny what we talked about before we started recording here. It's a funny conscious effort on Mourinho's part. He's very, very downplayed. Even his voice.
He's maybe sedated.
it's possible. But he's very, very low key at the moment. He's gone.
Yeah.
I think he's learned. Maybe not. Maybe we'll see it all come out later in this.
I think
evil heap of
I think it's easy enough for him. It's quite an easy start for him, the two games before the Super Cup. I mean, it's easy enough for him.
Two home games as well.
Yeah, two home games against Hull and Aston Villa. Sorry, Hull City Tigers. Like, you'd expect him to win it. You'd expect him to win it, and so he's probably just taking... go out and win it and
we'll
get a good base, right?
Yeah, in a sense, but I mean, when he arrived to England at first, the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And but you consider this is a comeback where he got an absolutely amazing reception. But and they pointed, I think he was making a conscious effort to play it down.
Like, oh, yeah, no, it
people
does
asked
seem
him
like
about that. And he,
like, I don't know, I can understand why he was doing it. And also, when he came to Chelsea at first, he kind of had to prove himself, and that's where this whole special one thing came from. He was like, I'm going to be a success here.
Yeah.
Whereas now he's like, I've been successful.
I think it's
everyone
more...
knows that I can do well here. Everyone expects something good, so let's just go and do it.
For me, it's more, I he seems a bit jaded to me after the Real Madrid thing. Like, it's like a wounded animal coming home, you know? He's back at Chelsea now and he can relax, and I think he's trying to stay relatively, after what happened to him in Spain, where he was relatively hated nearly everywhere. I think he's, you know, come back now and he's like, okay, I'll just take it easy for the first week or two I'm here. I won't explode yet.
We'll give it time and see what happens when they finally... I mean, they're playing Man United next week. Could be a huge game. They could lose that game and we might see them go off a bit if decisions go against them. Anyway, but we'll talk about United. It's the first time in the Premier League they've been managed by somebody else, David Moyes.
Yeah.
Took charge.
Beat
Swansea 4-1. Were they that good though?
No.
Or they just got two goals and Swansea didn't know what to do.
They were as United have been.
You know, they had Robin Van Persie, and that's that's what you need.
And Danny Welbeck.
And Danny Welbeck, his last goal. But again, you're 3-1 up and you're playing well, your confidence is high. He can try those little things.
Yeah, true, but I mean, he did it. Like,
it was brilliant.
When I saw him attempt that first, I was like, no, it's not going in.
Not you.
Not yet. You don't score those goals.
Would you say
you already scored your goal for the year?
Would you know? In a way, though, is his first goal not more impressive? Because that's what he's been missing from his game.
It was. But it's just, you know what I'm saying, like, technique-wise.
But as United finally be more encouraged on this by the first goal,
the
I want you to stand in front of
him.
Just, I want you to stand... much like Torres, just stand there and score goals. That's all you have to do.
Well, it was more that he was involved earlier and then he got into the box so fast.
Which
was
all Van Persie doing the Community Shield, where he kind of headed the ball down, or flicked the ball on, ran, and then headed the ball in for the goal. And it was almost like, or even we saw the highlights of the Aston or the Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, David Villa
getting involved to play. So somebody,
what a goal!
Striker getting involved with the play, and then following it in, and then getting the goal. And if Welbeck can do that, you know, if he gets involved and gets in the box and scores goals, it's great. You know, because he only got 2 goals or 3 goals last season, which was ridiculous. You know, and he's already got what, 4 this season now, I think. 3 this season, like
Welbeck.
About that
scrum for England as well.
Yeah.
You won't be discouraged by him messing around in front of the box and basically gifting Swansea that goal.
Him
and Cleverly between the two of them just stood there looking at it, and then he tried to flick it and ended up just bony slotted it in. Just nice to see for the lad on his debut and stuff. But
it was well taken finish.
She's gonna be a good sign, Bobby.
Yeah.
He should have scored just before that though. He had a header just before that, but he should have buried it.
But he's not going to be a good sign.
No, I think I honestly don't know that much about him, to be honest. My prediction is relatively useless, but seems alright.
United play Chelsea, said, which would be a proper test of what they're about. Just, I mean, they got 2 goals pretty quickly against Swansea, and it just seemed to be that Swansea kind of were like, they were good up until a point, and then
I think 4-1.
I think Swansea
4-1's a bit harsh.
Probably the better team until Van Persie scored.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I suppose
it was that they definitely had more of the possession in those first.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't even know, half an hour or whatever it was, had more chances. But United still seemed much more capable of doing something good. But I was impressed by Swansea to start, anyway.
Shall we talk about the Rooney picture that's been servicing?
What's the Rooney picture so far?
Of the all them celebrating.
Oh, no, we're not going to talk about that. No, we're not. No, it's bullshit.
Why?
Because it's irrelevant to anything. It's a picture of him walking up the pitch and... there happens to be a bunch of players over that side. There's loads of players.
I know, there's loads of other. That's what I wanted to talk about. It's cropped in the way that makes it look like.
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay.
I'm not going to give it any time.
Well,
we're going to talk about is Van Persie's second goal.
Okay.
And how it was such a good strike.
Okay.
And even his first goal.
Well, yeah. Well, we know it's first goal. But that second strike was just the way he just turned the defender and smashed it in.
Yeah.
So funny
in the sense that it was Rooney making the overlapping run with him as well. So it was like Rooney gave him the ball, overlapping run, and Van Persie went, "Man, I'm just gonna smash this in."
Yeah, I am just better than you.
Yeah, which I'm sure it's not. Obviously, that's reading into it. There's nothing there. You get the ball, you go, "Well, I'm gonna turn here and shoot."
Yeah. Well, no, I'd say he didn't pass him because it was Rooney.
I'd say he's never gonna get a pass in that United team ever again.
I did feel there was one or two like kind of moments in it, like particularly for Welbeck's second. I felt it was quite an iconic, if you took that little clip just there of like a new Manchester United with Welbeck, Jones, Cleverley, with the three kind of celebrating at the front, and you go, these young lads coming out. In the sense, it's not because Ferguson brought them all there, but you know what I'm getting at. The three probably promising young English players, even. That's saying something, isn't it? That they have there. But yeah, I just felt that was looking at it, I was like, there's a sense of a new Manchester United here, although an old one at the same time.
Yeah, but I mean, they're only Moyes is going in and what did Ferguson do? Right, do exactly that. The team played the exact same way as they had been playing under.
Yeah, but I don't think you can ever go in and say I'm just going to
I know that's obviously an exaggeration, but you know, it just seems like he's not really, doesn't seem too fussed about new signings.
Oh, well,
that much. I mean, after the Fabregas thing, it's been 3-4 weeks at this stage, and there's been no talk of anything else.
Fellaini and Baines, they've put in another.
Well, okay, that seemed like a kind of a. Go on.
It's actually causing a bit of trouble, isn't it? In the sense of they put in the same bid that was rejected.
Yeah.
Do they. they do. They do need a midfielder, but who are they going to buy? It's a real question.
Yeah.
Is Fellaini the man for?
I think Fellaini would add a fantastic amount to Manchester United.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll get him. I don't see why Everton should sell him. Especially for the price they're offering.
Yeah.
They signed him for 16, didn't they, Everton?
Yeah.
Signed him for about 16 million and United are trying to buy him for 18. It's outrageous. He's come on fantastically as a player.
Up
that by another 10, 15 million at least.
Yeah.
So, Swansea will have a good season, bad season?
It's hard with them, isn't it? They haven't really. I believe I can't think of his name. Loudrup. I believe Loudrup will be, you know, once again praised and all what he's doing. Some of the signings are a bit. I don't really know much about Boney. Shelby, I saw at Liverpool. Could come on, but I mean, was relatively hot and cold at Liverpool, mainly cold. you know, I'm not sure. They seem like a team that could regress this year. And it worries me, I mean, considering the highs they got to the year before, are they going to suffer from West Ham syndrome? Are they going to do, well, we were in the finals. Good enough to stay in the league. And, you know, I hope they will stay at that level because they're an enjoyable team to watch. And
yeah, I've never really thought about that there's much danger of them kind of fading away or anything like that.
Because of football, did they?
Not necessarily. I mean, obviously the kind of the big draw to them is the type of the way they play football, which is great to watch and it's quite effective. But you know, bringing in Boney and even bringing in whatever his name is, Paul Shelby. they're not necessarily the same type of players that they've always had.
Oh no,
you know.
Well, I mean,
it's interesting. It's interesting that you know possibly it's he's a. Cleodrup is thinking about, well, maybe we can't play that way every week.
Yeah,
fair
point.
Good point.
I think we all have faith that he's good enough to keep him there.
He's a good manager and he has a good squad of players, so I can't imagine. If they do fall back, it will be a place or two and it will be irrelevant.
Yeah.
It won't be anything drastic at
especially
all.
Especially with Europe as well this year. If they
for the Europa League. That could stretch them a bit, but it would be very interesting to see them in Europe because they play a very European style of football.
Yeah.
And,
John Joe Shelby has experienced that level, lads. He's going to lead them to the final.
He was actually quite good for Liverpool. He scored a lot of goals in the Europa League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly games he ever played for in the Europa League. Really. Moving on to Tottenham, actually. Yeah, Tottenham. Who've done an awful lot of business in the transfer window.
Well, we touched on.
But even they will, sorry, I was about to say they might. They will do more business because Bale team looks to happen.
We touched on Bale already, but we haven't talked about who they replaced him with.
Well,
not directly, but I mean, spent the money that they're going to get for him on.
Well,
I'd imagine
the money that they've spent already is.
That's what I mean. Well, I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I mean, it's been suggested that they could, like these signings have happened because of an agreement,
Well, the William
one seems like the most
the
likely.
The Will I Am.
That seems like the most likely one to be, the way you're talking about. I'd imagine they had, maybe close to 40 million.
That's
for
more.
The two signings that they made.
It's more than that, isn't it?
Paulinho, Soldado.
But 26 for Soldado and 18
for Paulinho.
So that's close enough. It's 44.
Mm. Well, then it's Chadley and.
I suppose.
Chadley coming in as well.
Yeah,
but. Yeah,
he wasn't that much of a seller.
No.
Yeah,
but it's not rank it up to 50, 60s.
Yeah, that's
well,
I mean, it's a good bit of money.
With Willian, it'll almost be probably the 90 million.
Yeah,
they're obviously, they're going to have money from Europa League. They have cash reserves left over anyway. And the TV deal we've discussed already. Look, Southampton has spent nearly 40 million. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not a lot of money to spend these days.
Is there a huge difference? Now, I think this is one of the things we'll definitely argue with the most. The class of players that Harry Redknapp signed compared to the class that Phyllis Bowles has signed.
Harry Redknapp has some top quality players there now.
If we could insert that cricket and silence sound there, it would be perfect.
I've had Van Aert. I mean, he was brilliant for four games.
He was there.
I mean, no, Harry Redknapp did buy some good players.
Fine job with him.
Yeah, as a man who doesn't like Harry Redknapp, I was saying.
Did a better job than Bowles did. He got him in Champions League.
Yeah. Already jumping on that.
Yeah. Bring back Harry, lads.
Oh, no, don't.
The chairman, and so on. Think about it. Anyway, look, the match. Soldado scored. Penalty. Tottenham.
First penalty since the end of last season before now.
Yeah. Thank
since
you,
2011, 2012.
First one converted, anyway.
No, first one they got. Didn't get one penalty.
We have the big diver like Bale.
So that was scored. I don't think Tottenham were particularly amazing in this game.
No, they
had some nice shots, but Palace looked okay. They put up a fight, but might just be that first game of the season looking good.
I mean, it seems like, just looking at their squad, the championship players all around there.
Yeah.
There was one player who started... lineup who had ever scored a Premiership goal, and that was even, it's not someone who scored a lot, he had one.
That's Aaron Wilbur. Of course, they did have somebody on the bench who was
That's
Premier League top goal scorer.
Yeah, that's true. what, like
Phillips? I'm sorry to say a Premier League goal scorer.
13 or 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Noel Quinn was commentating on the Tottenham Crystal Palace match. I was like,
was he?
Them two played together. Isn't that something? I was like, that's so weird.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, you know, Noel Quinn was an old lad and Kevin Phillips was a young
up and coming striker. Yeah, Kevin Phillips was into his 20s at that stage. Noel Quinn was going to the World Cup. I didn't think Palace were all that bad, but they do have championship quality players all around.
Yeah, but that
was a real struggle to stay up. And, you know, Holloway's been there and kind of done a good job with Blackpool, but ultimately didn't keep him up. But a lot of their success was probably down to Charlie Adams. So
yeah, it comes from that old argument, though, of do you stick with the group you go up? And we won't get into that because that's the same thing every year.
But look at Cardiff, they've spent big money.
And they didn't turn up at all. But
I think, honestly, that West Ham game, if you're a promoted team and your first game of the season is at Upton Park against West Ham, it's almost harder than playing Chelsea or United.
Because
West Ham know how to play against teams. They know what to do. Well, Sam Allardyce's team does, anyway, like that West Ham team does. They know, look, we're not going to let them get a shot in. We're not going to let them, you know, get some crosses in early on. We're going to make some tackles. We're going to keep it tight at the back. We're going to play up front. We're going to score a goal. And we're just going to keep the ball. That's kind of what they did. It's almost like when you play the big teams, they might be a bit more exposed. Like, I know Hull were great, but I mean, Palace even probably put a better fight than Cardiff did against West Ham.
Yeah, certainly. And it's maybe too much fight on Holloway's part because he's gotten like two charges by the FA in the first game.
First week of the season.
Basically,
I'm not looking forward to it. I've talked about it before.
Yeah, I know. You're not.
Andy Warnock's retired.
Yeah, well, at least that's one out of the way.
I'm tired, but it has to have a job at the moment, doesn't he?
Well,
on Match of the Day or something, and you'll have to be stuck with watching him.
Well, Holloway basically said that he needs to learn what a foul is in this league.
Who, the referee?
No, him personally, because what he saw was a foul. It was on Chadley, fouled.
That's not good for a manager not to know.
Yeah, it isn't. But he basically had a huge amount.
He's been managing the Premiership.
He's managed it before. Only once, though, isn't he?
He didn't know if fouls were last time, though. Yes. But he
and
basically,
how do we get points? How does that work?
Basically, levied a huge amount of criticism towards the linesman. Apparently, in the referee's dressing room, abused them. Cursed at them a lot.
That's not good.
And
it's not on as a Premiership manager.
Well, that's
or a manager of any level.
Yeah. Well, that's what I read anyway.
Your dad wouldn't be doing that.
No, he wouldn't. Especially
first mention in the season.
No way involved in any clubs anymore. So. He said. He also said, looking for a little bit of sympathy at the end, it's going to be a hard season for me.
For him. Crystal Palace will do great, but
he'll sacked. Yeah. Sacked at Christmas and Crystal Palace stay up. Yeah, I think they were very negative in the end, though. The forwards were always there. It was Gale up front on his own almost, and Wilburn was way.
They need more attackers, don't they?
They need to also just play a bit more attacking football. I know it's the first game of the season, but they were at home, so maybe they could have went for it. But maybe that contributed to the 1-0 defeat that they didn't really go for, and it was quite unlucky that they only conceded the penalty. And they did have one or two chances. Lorraine made some good saves as well late on in the game. So,
yeah.
You know, if it had been a worse goalkeeper in goal, or if he had made a mistake, it could have well ended differently. But they do probably need another, or somebody maybe between the midfield and the attack to link up play. Like he would have had with Charlie Adam to a certain extent. He was good at set pieces, who could get forward and pace some good passes. Now, it didn't always work, but if somebody can deliver a corner, you know, 2 times out of 10 that gets into the box, that somebody's going to head in, chances are you score.
Yeah.
1 in every 2 matches then, at that rate.
Now, we'll get on to this with predictions, but what do you reckon about the 3 promoted clubs? Like, for me, judging on, again, we're saying knee jerk reaction day is what this is, they look poor, most of them.
Yeah, the 3
there wasn't any one player or anything really that stood out to you from the 3 of them.
Usually
you would have a little bit of.
I think Cardiff will be okay once they get the squad settled. If Bond's
in decent. I don't know if that's the best business.
Stay up.
And going to, a lot of people have pointed out, going to Wales, like an away
game,
tougher and a little more like with Cardiff, with that hunger that those fans must have had to get in the league for the last God knows how long.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of passion, I would imagine. So I'm looking forward to watching the first Cardiff home game. It'll be important.
It will be hard to go there, and they've done such a good job getting promoted, and they spent big money, which is the only maybe negative in a way, is that they might not give Mackie McKay the time that he needs.
Yeah.
So if in 5-6 matches things aren't going well, there's going to be pressure on him, then he could be gone after 7-8 matches, and that might be the best thing to do in the Premiership. because you need to come up and establish your team. And look, if they come up and go straight back down, okay, it's bad for the amount of money they spent, but they get parachute payments, so they might come back up next season. That's the way it works. I mean, try to stick by your manager. Like, look what Wolves did with Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
And now look, we're there.
Exactly.
True. But I do think out of the three promoted teams, Cardiff has had the best.
So, so between the Hull City Tigers, the Cardiff Red Dragons, and the Crystal Palace Eagles. Yes. Two of us knew. They did have an eagle, didn't they?
Yeah, they
on the goal.
Eagle there, yeah.
Is that always a thing?
Don't know. Can't be in the Premiership in
a while. I believe it's Ian Holloway's eagle.
Probably is.
That's my eagle.
Eagle
Leave him be.
Ian Holloway management. Ian Dowie last time they were in the Premiership.
He didn't have an eagle.
No, he was just bald. Like Ian Holloway.
And like a bald eagle.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I think Hull and Palace could well go down. But, you know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I kind of hope Hull do go down. Just because... Don't change your name.
Well, it's not really. That was the chairman.
Yeah, I know.
But the fans in the club have to suffer because of that, like, you know?
Yeah, I know. They just kind of annoyed me. And then now every time I see, like,
the whole
I'm just kind of like, oh, great. Even though, like, they have a good few decent Irish contingent, I'd like to see them succeed at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Arsenal lost to Villa.
Let's get to it.
Arsenal
take a deep breath.
Arsenal really need to buy some players.
Yeah, our opening question was a joke on this, but let's be in Ruby silent for a minute and get an opinion from you on this, because it's what he's gonna do.
I said it probably off air, when I did say it on there, that we will honestly be linked with these players all summer with all this money. You know, the first thing is, why are we gloating about having this money? Because price is gonna be inflated if that's the case. We're going to go along all season. We won't buy anybody for ages. We'll leave it too late. Won't buy anybody good for a while, you know, which we haven't done yet. And Wenger's saying, oh, there's plenty of time to transfer window. There's 11 days or something till transfer window. Shut up. There's not a lot of time. Most teams do their business in the first couple of weeks. And he did make a decent point that managers get sacked and new managers come in and all that kind of stuff. Other clubs and other teams don't want to sell players. He said, now is the perfect time to buy. I was like, well, it's too late to buy players. You know, we've already lost a home game, like, against Aston Villa. Team you'd expect to win. Like, the team we have at the moment is, first of all, not good enough to compete at the top level. Like, it's not good enough to win the league. It's also not good enough to, like, it's too small to even challenge.
Almost.
Yeah,
like, no depth in it whatsoever.
You lose a defender and it's gone. And we don't have the time to go and buy 7 players, which I think we actually need about 7 players.
Yeah.
The team of players that have left. Like, it's fine, right? Let Trevino go. Let Scalacci go. Let Danielson go. That's fine. But if you don't replace him, then why are you letting him go?
Mm.
Like, what's the harm of keeping Trevino for another season if that's the case? At least it's a body to have there.
Yeah.
He might only score you 5 goals a season, but at least he's there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which seems illogical. And, like, even the youngsters, they're kind of looking and going, who are these youngsters? Like, there's nobody there to call upon to come out in the reserve. They're doing their 18s to win us a game, you know. It's just bizarre to look at the Arsenal team and go, for the first time, well, last season included, but for the first time since Portland, there are no world-class players in that team. Like,
yeah, it's a good point.
Wilshere might well be at some stage in his career.
But he's not world-class.
Because Orla is the closest to it, I think, at the moment, the way he plays. But that's it. Nobody else in that team is going to be world-class.
One thing that I always find strange is, like, you know, when a team is pursuing a player, if they show real hunger or real passion behind going for that player, it makes the player want to sign. To have that attitude of, there's loads of time. Like, I mean, when you talk about Gustavo, the day I saw that, I said to her, that would be a wonderful sign. They should go full throttle, all they can.
Yeah.
But it seemed like Arsenal are interested, he's gone.
Yeah.
And there was none of this, like, go out and add a little. Say, Wenger come out and say, oh, we'd love to have a quality player like that. He's exactly what our midfield needs. And it doesn't have to be that high in praise, but you start leaking stuff like that and you change players, they see your valuation of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if it always works, but
you do even,
something
even
more.
Still, like, what do you go for? Like, 14 million?
Mm.
I mean, that's very affordable for Arsenal.
Yeah.
When you have a for 12 and a half million.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they don't work out sometimes, you just have to take the gamble of buying a few players that might... Like, look at the drop we bought in anyway. Like, we bought awful players before and haven't worked out, but at least they've been there. At least they might have done a few games. Like, Trevino had a few good games. Ashford scored 4 against Liverpool.
Santos had a driving ban.
Yeah,
you know?
That kind of stuff. But it's always like, why didn't we go when Mateo was transferred? Why didn't we bid for him? He scored 2 goals against us the weekend, for God's sake. Like, it's just bizarre. 10 million for Kabay. They're not going to accept 10 million for Kabay.
No, it's that's. True.
And if we wind up buying Kabay for 18 million on the last day of transfer window, what's the point in that? We could have had him 2 weeks ago. He could have settled into the team. We could have had him in our squad. Like,
that's one thing that, you know, when we're talking about signings, Man City did very early was sort out a lot of their players. And I think it was Neville and Carragher were talking on Sky Sports about how what a great idea you get them early. They integrate into the squad earlier in pre-season.
They need to learn what the other teammates are. Great, we might buy four players in the next 11 days. And there might be four world-class players. Maybe four, maybe not world-class, really good players. But it will take them till mid-October, November, or something like that, to gel with the team. And at that stage, you might have already lost six games.
Exactly.
Leading out of the title race.
Yeah.
And it's the same old, oh, we're fighting for fourth place, and fourth place is an achievement. It's like, that's great. That's fantastic. But look at Tottenham. They spent 80 million already, or something like that. And okay, they're going to get a massive amount of money for a transfer. But at least they don't sell their players for 60 million just for the crack, like they did with Son. Like,
yeah, it's strange. It's a bit all over the place. Did you say Rigobert's song?
No, just song.
Oh, just it said
like
Rigobert.
Like we did with
I thought I said Rigobert. I was like, 60 minutes is a lot for Rigobert. It's getting old. Another thing is, we've a lot of the time, the argument has been that the talent isn't there. You know, that seems to be a strong argument there, that we don't want to just go lash it out on any players. Yeah. And you're like, okay, look, you're saying the talent that you want.
We don't have talent in our squad.
Yeah, there must be some higher talent than every player in the Arsenal squad there available. You know, you're telling me there's no higher talent as a backup defender than Jenkinson. You know, not once. For many years, we've argued that Jagielka would have been a pretty good, solid signing for Arsenal to have made 2 or 3 years ago. To have, you know, imagine he was, you know, integrated into that squad 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He'd be at the heart of the defence. He'd be, you know, not world class, but he'd be
international,
strong enough, regular enough, no huge mistakes, he'd be settled down. That's something that I think it's absolute ridiculous excuse. And clearly it's led to a lot of irate Arsenal fans.
But you do question what Wenger does with Manchester. Like, does he look at that team and go, I think this team, like realistically, like, looks at that team and go, oh, we can win the league with this team. We've got one striker. We have one striker. Okay, we can play Podolski there. Giroud's a decent player. We'll get a couple of goals this season. Had a very good season last season. But we don't have anybody else up front. We have like two centre-backs. And they're not even that good. Like, how can he look at that team and go, yeah,
I don't think he thinks it's good enough. But I think he's not finding the players that he wants right now. And it's kind of making excuses why to not buy other players. Like, for me, I didn't think Arteta was going to be great when they signed him that year. But you needed to make a signing like that.
Yeah, and he has been good.
He's been good, but he's not, you know, when they're talking about, and obviously not replacing Fabregas in that way, but he's saying, if he was to say, oh, the talent isn't there to replace Fabregas, he still bought Arteta, a player who's very, very capable in the midfield and used to it. Hmm. And that's what he needs to do now. There is players there. I mean, look at the players Tottenham have signed that he could have just hijacked if he wanted to and said, we have the chance of Champions League, come to us.
Lewis Holtby, like, moving there, I know he moved last season, but he cost absolutely nothing. Like, we could have bought him, and yeah, it might not have worked out, but you just let him go after 2 years, and, you know, there's no point going and buying the player and spending, like, months scouting him, and it doesn't work out either. So it's like, maybe you have to take a gamble. Like, Ashley Williams at Swansea, let's just go, bid 10 million tomorrow. He might not work out, but at least it's another fucking defender.
Yeah, or, we're getting on to that Arsenal fan on Arsenal TV, did you see that? I showed her that. I'll have to might put some of the audio at the end of this if we can. Arsenal TV, a YouTube series, guy going around interviewing a few different Arsenal fans. This older kind of man just lost it. I'd say he was close to like blood tears. And he basically starts point, like, his finger looked 3D because he was pointing right into the camera screaming that if they lost or if they didn't qualify for the Champions League, he'd expect Mr. Gazidis and Mr. Wenger to hand in their resignations because I'm fucking sick of it. He got so upset. It was brilliant. I'd love for them to go interview him now and see. They 3-0, how do you feel? It's like nothing, just timid.
Or after they sign Ibrahimovic and
Zlatan.
After they bring back Henri to cryogenic freezing.
26-year-old Henri.
To give you one positive, I thought Giroud looked a lot better than he had. Well, again, knee-jerk, but he was imposing himself on the game a lot more.
Yeah, he scored.
He scored, but like in his general build-up play, I thought was a lot better than I had seen.
Yeah, moving on to the match itself, I suppose. There. Aston Villa were really good, though.
I think it's been very...
Brad Hughes having a great game.
Overlooked that, you know, as bad as Arsenal were, Aston Villa had to go and do a job. And this is a team that don't score a lot of goals. They went out there, scored three, or two of them were penalties. Is that scoring?
Well, one of them was, the other was a rebound.
Yeah, but I mean, it came from the penalty.
Yeah.
But you know, I was very impressed with
it. Yeah.
Awesome,
yeah, Chesney was erratic as ever.
Yeah.
His
line twice.
I remember I saw them linked with Casillas and I was like, they signed someone else, they don't need a goalkeeper.
Well,
and then
Julio Cesar. He was like, I'm pretty sure he actually had a medical at one stage. I was like, why didn't you just buy him?
But
he would have cost a million.
In my head, I was like, I remember thinking, why are they doing that? They don't need a goalkeeper. Chesney did. And then I watched a match today and I was like, oh yeah.
Like, Chesney got himself sent off as well, which doesn't help.
I thought that was harsh.
He still got sent off.
I know he did, but I thought the ref had Anthony Taylor. I thought he had a relatively bad game. I thought the second Koscielny penalty
for the penalty.
Yeah. I didn't think it was. I can see why people. I know his right knee. Shearer made that point like 10 times that his right knee
makes contact.
Yeah, makes contact with the back of Ivan Lahar. I don't think. I think he slid in. Got, because he's saying Ivan Lahar was on the ground before Koscielny got the ball, which is outrageous. He was not. I think, you know, you slide in, you're going to catch the player a little. I know it's generally conceived, you get the ball and then the player, but he got the ball. It was a relatively decent tackle.
Yeah. I think he touched the ball, but I don't think he's ever in control of it as such.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever had to, like, at any stage of that tackle, did he have control of that tackle to put it out of play. So I think it was a penalty in the fact that he slid in, but he touched the ball almost. It wasn't a deliberate touch of the ball, if you know what I mean. He just touched it by chance.
I thought it was a bit harsh, but I also think that Koscielny had a very poor, like a shocker of a game. And I thought the red card was a little bit harsh as well. And for Ron Vlaar to do the exact same thing and not get sent off was really, you know, a statement on how bad the ref was in the game, I thought.
Or how good Villa were, you know. Look, I can argue about it all day. But we won't move on just quickly. City beat Newcastle 4-0. Pretty straightforward win for City. They just got on.
But it was because of your bid. Alan Pardew said, you bid for goodbye and you ruined him.
We can play. And Stephen Taylor got sent off, which is probably down to us as well.
Horrendous. Yeah.
He was watching Shannon the weekend.
He saw McGregor punch Torres and he thought, I'm going to clothesline someone. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Stephen Nexus chokes on things.
Oh, I've said for many years that I hate Stephen Taylor. Not anything personal. I just think he's a dreadful footballer.
Tori with a nice free kick, you were impressed
with that. Yeah, bring it. It's just like, you'd never see free kicks like that because of just the way, the technique that he hit the ball.
Yeah, he's a smash player, isn't he? In your head, you'd have him down as, smash that, go on.
Yeah.
Smash that.
But yeah, it was just a lovely little, because it looks like he's trying to just hammer it into the other side of the goal and then just kind of flows into the off corner.
Silva, little header from a counter-attack, kind of fell to him. Aguero,
a very, very nice finish.
Nice finish right at the far post. Yeah, right off the far post. From the edge of the box, almost. Running and hit the far post. Yeah. That's incredible.
And a bit of
determination.
Yeah, he looked like he actually wanted to go on and do something.
Probably because he knows his place is under threat with the likes of Jovetic and Navas coming in.
Yeah, probably.
Arsenal make a bid.
Ooh, no. And it could bring him back and actually play him in centre midfield, maybe.
Yeah.
Instead of playing, where was he playing? Right midfield, for the most part. I don't know. You spotted it years ago.
I told you.
Yeah, it was really not much else to say about the City. They trounced Newcastle.
Yeah,
Newcastle are awful.
Better.
And City's business is done. I don't know, Newcastle. Joking here. Cheated by
Will
somebody.
They ever do anything? Or is it a bit of a laugh?
They still don't look relatively good up front, do they? Well, actually, they don't look relatively good.
They
haven't
really good anywhere, really.
Remy and Papasicil.
Get your goals.
They'll do a certain job. Again, when
they'll frustrate you.
Yeah.
Defensively, it's always been the problem.
Yeah.
And they're going to miss Taylor for 3 games now. I think it was for a straight red. So
honestly, they're better off without him.
But they do need centre backs.
Yeah.
Really badly. And they don't seem to be going for any.
No.
Which is a big problem. Look, they'll go to France and pick up a shed load of players and bring them back in the fair.
Not with joking here.
They'll go to the lower leagues.
Because he'll go to some squad and ask them for the players and just. We'll get their names completely wrong.
Look, any door he opens probably has a defender behind it.
Yeah.
Joking here.
Yeah.
I know lots of doors. I know loads of doors and managers.
I used to be a door salesman. Got loads of mates in the business.
And lining up in central midfield for Newcastle is a door.
Top class door from
Newcastle. Well, it's a closed door.
Shrek Tiote joins a door in the midfield.
And Frank Lampard's having a tough game against this door. And the stuffed Diabri as well. He's had an impact. Barcelona, Madrid and all that. Madrid won 2-1 the weekend. Isco scored a pretty late goal. This time last season, they started the season terrible last season. They managed to scrape a win because Barcelona won 7-0. And really impressive. I mean, we already talked about this to a certain extent, but it's almost that if Madrid can at least keep winning these games while Ancelotti settles in and they do all this transfer business, it'd be good for them. But they looked a bit, really scraped it. They, you know, caught Diego Costa in goal, wasn't it? Rather than Casillas.
Yeah.
Well, is it Costa's name? Is it
Diego Lopez?
Lopez, sorry. Costa's the second Madrid forward.
The one that Liverpool were linked with.
Yeah. Who really signed your deal? I don't think Liverpool missed out there.
No, I mean,
big money on a player like that.
Gets sent off an awful lot. It's like Medell going to Cardiff.
Yeah.
And Atletico Madrid drew a Barca, we were saying, the
Super Cup. Yeah.
Super Cup, which David Villa scored a wonderful goal in, if you can check it out.
Mm.
I mean, it's a great strike, but the play.
He almost sets the goal up twice.
Yeah. And it was great to see because he celebrated as well.
Yeah, so
sick of seeing people do this kind of I'm not going to celebrate. Barcelona were happy with his service. It's not like he started causing a big problem.
It's not like he grew up there.
Yeah, exactly. If there was an Adebayor aspect,
yeah,
you know, then he deserves 8 chairs thrown at him. But
or pig's head.
I'm never too keen on that to be thrown at anyone.
If he is celebrate, that's what I say. Well, that's pretty much it then, because we covered that Spanish stuff. We covered your adventures throughout Europe.
Yeah.
We didn't cover my beautiful Liverpool team, but we'll get to them when they start playing more interesting football.
They won 1-0. Well done, lads.
Hit the post a couple of times.
The usual Liverpool stuff.
Well, it was the usual Liverpool stuff in the sense of we should have been 2 or 3 up, and then we gave a penalty away at the 92nd minute.
And you're on top of Liverpool next week. Off with all you want next week. Next week, some new features as well. It's all coming at you next week. This week is just a settling in period.
Yeah.
Because the lads are only back from their holiday. We had to do a lot of stuff. It's a long one this week because we have to cover so much. You know, talk about what's happening in Europe, all that kind of stuff. But
I'm going
to
mess around with the structure a little bit.
The structure.
In general.
You know, I want to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You want to what's coming at you.
Let's
talk about doors.
I know. You've obviously missed out on the part of the memo where you're talking about my door section.
It'll actually be opening and closing doors.
Opening. Just...
joking here won't be having any.
Now, normally at this time of year we do our predictions, which we've kind of, you know, dropped one or two hints throughout this.
Yeah.
But this season is going to change. We're going to do our predictions as we normally do. What we're going to do is we're going to write them out though, and we're going to seal them up in an envelope.
Lock them in a little.
Time capsule.
I've got a little chest upstairs. We get a few Premier League stickers all over. A couple of collages like of the Jose Mourinho thing. A few grown men making a few collages. And we'll seal them up there and read them out at the end of the season.
Which will probably be a little more interesting because we'll know ourselves what we've wrote, but we won't know what the other two will have. Which would be even more interesting. Because come the end of the season, the World Cup will just be around the corner and, well,
we'll look like dreadful.
And we'll have the point system back again for that.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Can I retain it? I think I can retain it this year, lads. I'm confident.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to draw a list, basically, of what predictions we're going to have. We'll put up online, of course, if you want, send us in your own predictions to 12manpodcast@hotmail.com or just leave them on the Facebook and send them in if you want to send any predictions, because I think if you used to, it would be a bit more fun as well. Not used to, the listeners.
I shouldn't submit mine via Twitter then,
no. No, that'd be a bad idea. So we're going to do it next weekend. We'll find out at the end of the season if we last that long. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Could combust in this recession.
Life is short.
Yeah, so send us...
Jesus. Very miserable note to end it on.
Thanks, lads.
That's the new way.
Death is coming.
Finishing on a bad... No, thank you. We're talking about
that. Thank you. I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah. The 12manpodcast on hotmail.com, @12manpodcast on the Twitter. And just the Facebook page as well. 12manpodcast. Google. Get on there. Have a look. Like us. Videos going up. Some... pictures going up, all that kind of stuff. Predictions. What video are you going to put up? I mentioned one earlier. The Arsenal fan.
Yeah, the Arsenal fan, and maybe a bit of Andy Cole's rap, just because it's outstanding, really.
Yay! Outstanding. Right, thank you, Declan Maher.
We're all doomed.
Thank you, Rory Tobin.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll thank you for myself, Shane. If we live till next week, we'll speak to you soon. Bye. Sure, go on, look.
Hyped at your two chair beer.
How are you? How are you doing? 12 Minute Podcast coming at you live. Live from Dublin, Ireland. It's the 12th Man Podcast.
Now, on to the lightning round. Prediction for the season, who's going to win? Who's going to be top scorer? Who's going to go down? Down, down, down.
Don't like any of this. No, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll talk about healthcare, but you'll do it in a Mick McCarthy voice.
No.
That way it'll be way funnier to everyone. Or you can do it in the ginger.
I do what I like. I do what
and
I like.
And I play who I like.
I play who I like. And I say what I like.
And if I wanted to play someone I didn't like, I would.
And I would. And I say that.
If I wanted. But I don't. So I won't.